In today's gospel reading, we have another parable about a farmer sowing seed. In last week's story, or last week's gospel, the farmer sowed seed all over the field, and the seed fell on different types of soil. It fell on the path, it fell on the rocky ground, it fell among thorn seeds, and it also fell on good soil. And we learned how that seed fared among all the four different soil types. But we also learned a lot about the farmer, how he sowed seed with abandon equally on all four of those soil types. Having the parable explained to us, the soil is the world, the seed is the word, and the sower is Jesus, and by extension, us, as we carry out the Great Commission of Matthew 28, spreading the good news and making disciples. On the surface, today's gospel reading and the parable seem very similar. But in today's parable, something insidious has happened. The farmer sows good wheat seed in his field, but during the night, an enemy comes and sows weeds among the wheat. Interestingly, the enemy was very ingenious. He played the long game, so to speak. He sowed a type of seed that is very closely resembles the wheat plant, so that the wheat and the weeds grew together, and it wasn't until much later, when the two had matured and produced grain, that it was actually discovered. So the servants of the farmer come and they ask if they should pull the weeds out. The farmer, concerned that they would pull the wheat out along with the weeds, allows them to grow together until harvest time, when the reapers will first gather the weeds, bind them, and burn them, and then gather the wheat into his barns. Well, if you know anything about farming, you would know that letting the weeds grow is a disastrous strategy for your fields. The weeds are usually much more aggressive than the crop. They would rob the good plants of nutrients, light, water, and space. You're very apt to lose everything this way. Yet here we see the farmer decide to let the weeds grow. What does this mean? Jesus seems to be saying that God's approach to evil is very unorthodox. He's not going to do a partial intervention which would make this broken world just a little less broken, at least not in this way. He will let the weeds, the evil deeds, and the evil ones of the enemy grow beside us. The reasoning is simple. If you pull out the weeds, you will destroy some of the wheat also. The people listening to Jesus would have gotten this immediately. The weed, or this weed that the narrative is probably referring to, is a plant called darnel, which grew in this area and resembled wheat until it matured. At the time of the harvest, the darnel seeds are black, while the wheat seeds are brown. Darnel is also poisonous, and if eaten in large enough doses, it can kill a person. No wonder it's called wheat's evil twin. Our gospel narrative then skips several verses to verse 36, with Jesus explaining the parable to his disciples, bypassing the parables of the mustard seed and leaven. The sower of the good seed is Jesus, and like the parable from last week, by extension, anyone who proclaims the good news of the Word of God. The field is the world in which believers and non-believers alike live side by side. They are the wheat seeds and the weeds in the story. The devil or Satan is the enemy farmer who sows the weeds to disrupt the growth of the wheat. The harvest then is the end of the age or the coming of the Son of Man to judge all people. At that time, God's angels will accompany him to establish his kingdom forever and bring judgment upon the earth, separating believers from non-believers as a harvester separates wheat from the weeds. The weeds will be bound and thrown into the fire, but the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their father. But this parable is also an illustration or a metaphor of the current reign of Christ on earth, along with the coming of the end times or judgment day. As you walk out into the field of this world, into the big box stores, into theaters, into restaurants, as you live your daily lives watching the news on TV, could you or would you say that God even exists? Where is this kingdom where Jesus is reigning? We live in a broken world that can be very painful for us. And there seems like there's not much that we can do to change it. And it seems that we can't stop the muggings, the rapes, the child abuse, the killings that go on every day. And we wonder, where is our God in all that is happening? We question his basic goodness and justice, because he's not using his power to make things right. It is this now but not yet waiting game that we find ourselves in, waiting for the day that God and Jesus will send his angelic messengers to bring all of this to an end. But as we struggle with this, we need to look to the cross, to the goodness of God in the flesh. God's answer to this brokenness and the sinfulness of this world is that he entered into this world in Jesus Christ. And he took that brokenness upon himself, upon his shoulders, as he bore mankind's sins on the cross. The only innocent man took on the most terrible injustice, and he suffered for us, providing an answer to the world's brokenness. And then he simply says, trust in me. Trust in me with all your questions. Trust in me with all your complaints. Trust in me to help you shoulder your load. Trust in me when you don't see the end game. Trust in me with your very soul, and I will deliver you to eternal life. He calls us his people, redeemed, purchased with the very blood of Christ. We are the wheat among the weeds. And he helps us to persevere to the end of this age. There is evil in this world. We see it in our own lives. The weeds are real. They have been sown. But it's not a sign that God is uncaring or has abandoned us, or is unable to do anything about it. God will deal with the evildoers in his time frame. And we should not be discouraged that it seems slow in coming. God's justice will come. Remember, by not pulling out the weeds, the farmer was protecting the wheat. We can be a little weedy at times, right? Satan sinner at the same time. God, in his mercy, waits. And as we wait and as we watch, the weeds continue to grow among the wheat. These verses are obviously foundational for our belief in Judgment Day and in hell. Yet in a recent 2021 survey conducted by the Pew Research Center, they found that only 62% of U.S. adults believe in hell. A slightly better percentage believe in heaven, 73%. Maybe more importantly, and more alarmingly for sure, 40% of U.S. adults believe people who do not believe in God can still go to heaven. And 6 out of 10 Christians, that's Christians, believe that many religions can lead to eternal life in heaven. It seems like Satan and his weeds have done and are doing their jobs very well. But God's word is very clear. Jesus says in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Peter, speaking at the time of the early church, declared, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Acts 4:12. From the beginning of time to the end of time, God's word has not and will not change. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if heaven is not your final destination, it's going to be hell. There is no other alternative. Whether we're talking about weed in the weeds or we look at the final judgment from Matthew chapter 25 and the sorting of the sheep and the goats, heaven and hell are real, and Jesus is the only way. That is our message, a message that needs to be shared. So our job is to plant the fields, scatter the seeds, spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And don't be surprised at the weeds that show up. Just thank God for his patience. And don't get discouraged. The Holy Spirit takes care of the growth, and the angels do the harvesting. So let's do some farming to the glory of God's holy name. Amen.